Can you believe it's 2017? It's almost unbelievable. I think about 1979 when we were married. That's a long time ago. I married her when she was only 3 years old. So, but it's amazing. What could this year be about? Who knows? But God knows. We're excited about that. I hope you enjoy Galatians. I hope you have studied it. I hope it has been an inspiration to your soul. I hope you have grown in it because it is awesome to know that the Almighty God has given us freedom in His Word through the Gospel, and the Spirit of God is doing awesome things. You know, the Apostle Paul was so excited about writing the things that we studied for the last 17 weeks, you know, that he began this ending with saying, "See the big letters I'm writing?" Well, isn't that strange? Who says things like that? Well, I don't know if you ever written a letter before or just a message to somebody, and then at the end you make it all capital, you know? That's loud, right? If you're typing an email, all capital means I'm really, really either upset about this, excited about this, whatever. And then you put exclamation points, which I do a lot, actually. I'll put three of them, you know, just to emphasize it. That's kind of what Paul's doing. Now, you need to understand, Paul wrote a lot of letters. Most of his letters, he didn't write himself. He would just quote it. There would be a scribe. Back in those days, there were no computers, of course, but even paper. There was not a lot of paper around. And so, and a lot of people are not very good at writing because that's not what you do. I don't know if it's papyrus, whatever paper they're using. So somebody would write for Paul. And Paul, remember, he was in prison a lot when he's writing these letters. And somebody would just jot it down. There would be his scribes. And then after the letters, then he would go there. He would sign it in a certain way that people would know is from Paul. But this letter, he wrote it himself. He says, "See the big letters. I'm writing these big letters because I'm so serious about it. I have such passion about what I'm telling you. I want you to understand the stuff that God has given to you. The phenomenal life of living by the power of the Holy Spirit. The tremendous fruit that you can have if you walk by the Spirit. The great life that He's given you by taking you away from that bad life, the horrible life that everybody thinks is okay." And so he does that. And as he ends this letter, he focuses on what we as God's people, I want to tell you, need to focus upon. And that is the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, just a reminder of what the cross is. In case you think, you know, because we're wearing crosses around our necks, we got all kinds of things and trinkets and all kind of jewelry that's made of the cross. You need to know what the cross is. The cross is anything but glamorous. It is the most heinous and most painful and worst way that probably the greatest empire in the history of the world discovered and invented to terrorize people. That's what the cross is. You know, yes, there's decapitation, there's quartering of bodies, you know, tying yourself in. There's all kinds of ways of killing and torturing people, but none worse than the cross. The Romans invented that. It was like a form of impaling, but you stay alive for days. You're nailed to the cross, you're bleeding, you're suffering as slow as possible for that death to happen in front of all your family and friends, and they can't do anything about it. Humiliating you and your family in front of the whole city, whatever city it is. That's what the Romans invented. So the cross is a shameful thing. The cross is a painful thing. The cross is something you don't want to think about. And yet now, because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, the cross is all that matters to us as God's people. I want to share with you three thoughts here in this passage. They're important. First of all, we can call it the religion of human achievement. I want to tell you, even in the churches today, too often we're focused not on what Jesus has done. We're not focused on what the Spirit of God can do. We're focused on what we can do. And the Apostle Paul writes this, and it's interesting that he writes it again. He's already gone through six chapters that we have, right? Basically telling them about being free from the ways of this world. And he writes it again. And he said, those people out there, and he's talking about people that are within the church now. He's talking about people that may be Christian. We might, you know, we might not think they're Christians, but they're certainly in power in the church. These are people that are there, and don't assume everybody in the church is Christian. But nevertheless, maybe these are. But he writes about them again, and he talks about them like this. He's basically saying they may be in a church. They may have a religion, but their religion is really a religion of human achievement. You say, well, that's not us. Really? Think about it a little bit. First of all, what are these achievements? First, he says, you know, they are trying to prove to you how great they are. They're trying to compel you to be circumcised. This is something that they were doing back then because they were Jewish people. And he said, they want to impress people by means of the flesh. Sometimes we think, you know, being a Christian means the accomplishments that we have. I think even as a pastor sometimes, you know, we have all kinds of things, particularly in the West. We have to go to this school and that school. We have to get this degree and that degree. Not against any of that, okay? Having a degree is fine. In fact, most people who ask me whether they should go into ministry, I'll ask them what it is they want to do, and I may suggest a Bible school to them. I may suggest that oftentimes if they want to go to seminary, I will always suggest DTS to them because it's local, it's a good seminary. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we think that those are the things that make us religious. Those are the things that make us more spiritual. Those are the things that make us this and that and that. And we are so wrong. Just like back in those days. You know, if you get circumcised, you know, even though you're Galatians, you're not a Jewish person, get circumcised, you have an achievement that we can point to. Look at him. This is a man that went through all that. And by the way, he got circumcised. And by the way, he went to this institution. And by the way, he has this and that and that and that. We want to think that way. We think that if we achieve a certain thing, it makes us a better Christian, makes us more spiritual, it makes more religious, and people need to look up to us. Many of us here are Asians. And many of us here are Asian, East Asian, we call, which includes Chinese, Koreans, and Japanese. And it's our culture. It is our culture. It is inside the Confucius culture. And we, as a society, have been a part of that. And we highlight education. We highlight those kind of achievements. And so we bring it sometimes into our religion. We bring it sometimes to our Christian faith. And we say, you need to have this. Again, nothing wrong with it. But if that is what's going to make us feel like we're more spiritual, we will be wrong. If you follow some of the greatest pastors I can think about and what they have done and the impact they have upon people, you'll find that that's not where they are. Jim Cimbala, pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle, doesn't even have a Bible school education. One of the most impactful churches in this world. I think about Eugene Peterson. Some of you know who he is. He's the writer of the Message Bible and many, many books. One time he was speaking at a conference I was at, and we asked him, you know, he's a pastor, you know. He's not just a writer. He's not just a great book writer. We asked him about his church, because sometimes that's how we think of achievements. We think of people, you know, if you have a big, gigantic church, when you have, you know, Joe Osteen or Ed Young. I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying those are the two biggest churches in the United States. That somehow makes them better. And Eugene Peterson impacted so many people. So we asked him, he said, oh, no, I just have a little church. I don't even have a staff. He said, well, I have a part-time kind of assistant to me. She's just part-time. He said, we have about 140 people in our church. That's it. And I think some pastors there in the conference were shocked. They were shocked that someone with this kind of caliber and ability would have such a little tiny church. And it wasn't an issue for him at all. It's how he impacted people. Sometimes we think of that. We think of these things. And Paul was speaking to the people there and saying, guys, do not misunderstand the Christian faith, the life you have, the spiritual life that you're living with the achievements of this world. Don't do that. Now, second thing he tells them, along in this religion of human achievements is that, you know, he says, I want you to know that these people want to impress you. But another reason is this. He said, they want to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. So, you know, if you're a Christian or you're a Jewish person, we get circumcised. The Romans said, well, that's what you do. We don't care. But don't mess with the stuff that this society says, you know. Don't go against the grain. Now, you need to know, back in those days, if you're a person at all, you have to bow to the Roman emperor. You know, there are like idols and there are pictures of him, and you go by, you have to bow. And if you don't, you can get arrested. You can do all, there's all kinds of stuff they can do to you. So it was that kind of a society. It was a really sinful society, probably a whole lot worse than our society today by any stretch. And Christians had to live in the midst of that. And they're not allowed to say certain things. They're not allowed to do certain things because if they do, they get persecuted, right? And in fact, we find lots and lots of them that were arrested in prison, lost their job, lost their home. Some of them were thrown in the Colosseum, facing lions, you know, et cetera. That's what they were and had to deal with. Not a whole lot different than today. You know, today as a Christian, you know, now in Texas it's a little different. I really appreciate that because if you pray in Texas, no one blinks an eye. They don't call you names, you know. You can have a lot of values here, but even then, there's some values are changing. Last year, we struggled with all kinds of values, whether it is the, you know, called the hero law that was trying to be put in place in Houston, South Carolina faced those kind of things. If you say certain things about certain people, if you quote certain scriptures, you're a bigot, on and on and on. We have all these things. Back there, the same thing. They didn't want, these Christians did not want to be persecuted for the cross of Christ. And so they didn't want to go against the Roman rules. I remember when we were, when we started our church in New York, and there were many, many people that came through, and a lot of them young people, and they were not church family people. You know, the parents were not Christians. Most of the parents, if they were Chinese, were Buddhists. And so the young people will come, and they will give their lives to the Lord. They'll get baptized. Sometimes that's a little struggle, too, to be baptized. But around Easter time, or at least in the month of March and April, there is something that the Chinese community would do. It's called Han San, walking the hill. And you know what it is. If you grew up in a Christian community, in a Christian family, you probably didn't have to face that. But all families have to go to the cemeteries of the grandparents, of their parents, right, or even whoever else, and they have to walk up to the grave, and then they have to bow to it. They have to bring food to it, and they have to bow to it. This is a religion of the Chinese people. And it's really important they treat it not just as a religion, not just as something spiritual, but also a part of our culture. This is how you honor your ancestors. This is how you honor your parents. And you know, again, in the Confucius philosophy, you have to honor your elders. You have to honor your parents and your grandparents. How dare you not honor them? And so the young people that became Christians, they have a struggle now, because a lot of times they would even end up on the same day as Easter, on a Sunday. They have to make a choice to not go to church on Easter, you know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They have to make a choice not to go there. Or if they go there, they have to run out very quickly in the afternoon to go up to the cemetery. And worse, now they have to go up to the grave and they have to do the bowing, the three bows. And somebody said, what's the big deal? You know, you bow, pay. No. For Chinese people, this is not just any respect-paying bow. These are bows of worship to your ancestry. And so they have a big struggle here. And how many young people I have known have really got persecuted by their parents. I mean, really brutalized because they said, we worship Jesus, we can't do this. Now, our parents have died. We honor them, but we cannot bow to them because we cannot worship our parents. Oh, you're terrible. You're going to lose your inheritance. We just excommunicate you from our family. And these are the things that they have to face. That's just family. But it happens even within our culture. There are things now that churches are afraid to say, teachings that a church are afraid to publish, I mean, think about it, you know? What we put on our website is very careful. We put something in there, next thing you know, we're going to have a bunch of people parading in our parking lot protesting us, as they have in the First Baptist Church in Dallas. They have protesters every single Sunday. So though the people back then, 2,000 years ago, they don't want to do that. The Apostle Paul called them on it and said, you don't do it because you want to be avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. And we as God's people cannot follow the ways of human achievements. We cannot be afraid of being persecuted for the cross of Christ. We need to be able to say and stand and whatever we need to do to say, you know what? We love God. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the gospel message. The third thing is this. The Apostle Paul said, but not even those who are circumcised, those who are telling you these things, they keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised, so they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. He's basically saying to them, you know what? Sometimes Christians will use methodologies of the world. They can cover up the sin that way. You know, I'm still living in sin, but I was circumcised. I'm not sinful. You know, they'll live in sin in hidden ways, you know. They'll treat the families, the wives, whatever it is they do, you know, at home. But, oh, I'm an honorable Christian. I'm a deacon. I'm a pastor. I'm a Sunday school teacher. Whatever it is. And they use those kinds of things to cover up the life of sin they're living. Oh, how many are those like that? It's sad for me to constantly hear it. Now, I shared with you already. I won't do it again. Pastor friends of mine that are literally just, really? They're literally pastors covering the sin that they're doing. Happened 2,000 years ago or so as well. This is the religion of human achievement. And the Apostle Paul said, I want you to stay away from that, because you know why? The second thing we find here is that our faith is a belief in a life-changing faith. And that's why he says over there, it's not about all these things. It's not about circumcision. It's not about all these methodology and things that you do. It is about a new creation. Now, what does that mean? Why would he say something like that? It is about new creation. See, the gospel message doesn't bring people into a new sociological identity, a new, like, you know, a group. It isn't about that. Let's sign up. You can become this, you know, pay your dues. You're going to be fine. It isn't about that. It isn't just suddenly you are now members of CBC, although we believe in membership. That's not it. You can sign up and fill the forms out and become a member of CBC. But inside, you're not new. You're just the old, same old, same old, old stuff. But you understand the gospel message is not about the things that we do outside. It is about what's inside. It is a transformation of the heart. And I will tell you, I've seen enough people, hundreds of people, that have given their lives to Jesus Christ. Many of them, I pray with myself. And I want to tell you, when I see that transformation inside, I know, you know, maybe their lives are all messed up at this point. I have no doubt it's going to change, because it is inside. It's a new creation that's inside. Something has drastically changed, and that's what the gospel message does. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. It isn't about what the world does, the ways of the world, the things that we have fit the world into our church. It isn't about any of those things. It is about God transforming the inside. And so I know we have all kinds of workshops, we have all kinds of seminars, things coming up, things that we teach people, you know, about devotion time, prayer time, on and on and on. I want to tell you, if you have a new creation inside, those things are automatic. Those things, you crave those things. You might need to know how, but you want them. You just want them. The things that you used to do, you can't do anymore. The things that you didn't bat an eye about doing, you know, whether it's lying, cheating, stealing, you know, being mean to people, angry, you don't do those things anymore. You just don't. And sometimes it takes a little time for the Spirit of God to work in your life to just make things new. But nevertheless, things will become new because you are a new creation. So being a Christian is not just like, I raise my hand, although that's necessary. I come up, that's necessary. I made a decision, that's necessary. We have to make that choice. But once that choice is made, the Spirit of the living God who brings with him The fruit of the Spirit into your life. He comes into us and he transforms us into a new creation. And every time I see one of those new creations, I'm just excited. Maybe you don't have all the theology yet. Maybe you haven't even been baptized yet. Maybe you haven't even, you know, done any serving. But there's something inside. It changes who you are. And if you meet them, you know them. And then the Apostle Paul, he writes, and I love it. I mean, you can just summarize the whole letter this way. He says, if I'm going to boast about something, I'm going to boast about the cross. Now, we like to boast. We're human beings. You know, the sinfulness of human beings. One of the things that we love to do is to boast in different ways. Some people are braggarts all over the place. That's terrible. Don't be that. Sometimes we just boast quietly, but we're boasting. But Paul said, I'm not going to boast about anything. And he had lots and lots of things to boast about. He had achievements in the world that very few had. He certainly accomplished so much. He was a person that was well sought out in every which way. People wanted to hear from Paul. People wanted to be with Paul. He was a man that everybody wanted. But he says, my only boast is to boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. Talked about this, he says, you know what? The world has never, never meant anything to me, and he won't. And the word the world here is the word cosmos. In case you don't know what that means, it's not the earth, it's not the planetary world. The world is a system that the enemy, Satan, has put together. You know, I know we live in America. Sometimes we want to think about America as a Christian nation. It may have been once upon a time. It might have been established by people who are very godly. But still, America is the world. It's part of the world. And there's another part down on the other end, you know, halfway around the world in China, that's communist. It's not democratic. It's not capitalistic. Then there are other ones in Africa, in South America, in Southeast Asia that are dictatorial. There's a dictator there determining everything. In the Middle East, you know, there's a couple of mullahs deciding what happens to anybody. They're all the world. Everything's the world. I know we'd rather live in a place like America, but nevertheless, it is still the world, the ways of the world, how we think about things, how we see things. It's cosmos. And the world is what Satan has done to it. The system, the governments, the mores, the stuff that we're hearing, our children, our grandchildren. I see my three granddaughters and I'm like, oh dear Lord, you know, what kind of mores are they gonna grow up with? The things that are so common today, that's blasting it out on the internet and the television, they're gonna see those things and think, and that's life. Unless, the cross has made a difference in their lives. Unless the Spirit of the living God has come into their lives and created a new creation, a new creature. Unless. That's what the Apostle Paul said to the Galatians. I boast in nothing. There's nothing in my life that's worth anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. Can we do that? Can we say Jesus and his death on the cross of Calvary is all that matters to me? And if we can do that in 2017, the cross leads you every day, leads you every day. If the cross is what you're focused upon, you know what? You're going to have a great year until the Lord returns. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we want to thank you so much for the freedom that you have given to us, Lord Jesus, because of your death and resurrection. Because the power of sin and the ways of this world cannot grip us, you have given to us a new creation. Oh, Lord God, would you speak to our hearts here in the midst of our church, Lord, that we will boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. For 2017, Lord God, may we shine forth the power of the resurrection to our families and our friends and to our world.